Welcome to episode 19 of the Book Boys podcast.
We're back.
This is a very special episode.
Yes.
Last episode was the 1 year anniversary. I hope you guys enjoyed that short little snippet. And what we discussed there is was about our writing, the writing of these short stories, which today we will be reading and discussing.
Yeah, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's
we put in quite a bit of work.
We did. We actually had to do some preparation this time, yeah, rather than just reading something.
New for us.
The way we're gonna structure this is, we're gonna first of all start off with my short story. I'll read it out, and then we'll discuss, and otherwise we'll, I don't know if we can call it feedback, but we're just going to kind of talk about the story.
Constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll find it perfect.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. It was really more meant as just kind of a way to get us to write
a
little bit.
Which worked.
It did,
really indeed. Well.
And I'm certainly very excited to read out the short story and to see what the audience thinks about it.
I'm excited to hear it, you know.
Okay. I guess we can just jump right in, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Let me just up this font.
Do you have a title, or is it just unnamed short story?
I didn't think about a title. I don't know. I don't have a title.
Okay, well, that's...
Unnamed short story by Max Jorman.
Maybe you can name it to something else another day. You know?
Indeed, I could.
We will see.
All right.
I'm just going to lean back and enjoy now. Yeah,
let's hope I do this right the first time. Okay. We had gotten off the train several hours earlier. Not many events transpired in that time which seem worth mentioning now. Nice at Night is a very cold and melancholic place, even during summer, which was the time of year at which we spent our time on trains. The association of beaches, sun, and a culturally rich French town were no more. I had been the first to take a sleep shift. The beach proved to be less than suitable location for this, so we decided to take the sand-strewn stairs to go up on the more crowded but more temperately forgiving boulevard. After a few moments of deliberation, the three of us, that is, Adam, Carrie, and myself, settled to a nearby metal bench. It was by no means an inviting place to sleep for the night, but we made do. I remember feeling an air of excitement, as I often do in situations which will eventually provide a harrowing tale. This attitude of mine contributed also to our initial choice not to get a place to stay for the night. The particular bench we had chosen was by no means comfortable, however, it was far enough from the beach so as not to be bitten by the mosquitoes, and on the other side, far enough from the busy street so that we would not be disturbed by unwanted noise. At this point, our shift schedule was mentioned no more, and we silently agreed to all try to sleep. A deep sleep I never achieved, which can be attributed to the shorts and t-shirt I was wearing. I was, however, more successful than my compatriots in getting any rest at all, who in my memory were awake throughout the night. I lay with my knees tucked as closely to my chest as possible, listening to the sea. There would be noises of occasional chatter and a faint hint of music in the background, but for the most, I was relaxed. Then suddenly, I, at first, heard some scuffling rather close to us, which captured my attention. I chose to ignore it at first. I slowly open my eyes because the sounds persist and intensify. I look at Adam. He's looking with awe over my shoulder, and I start to recognize the types of things I'm hearing. I follow Adam's example and look behind me. My ears of suspicions are confirmed by the scene that is now playing out before me. Roughly 30 meters away, a group of four well-dressed young Frenchmen are fighting. Now I must admit, I have personally never been in a fight, nor did I intend to participate in this one. My first reaction is one of fear, an involuntary reaction which I hope my friends shared, but I knew they did not. Adam was from France, and had this been in my own country, I would have reacted in the same laissez-faire way as he did. Some comedic comments were made by them, but we kept watching with seriousness. These men were all shouting at each other, and at the same time trying to seriously injure their counterparts. It looked like two of the men were in disagreement with the other two, all equal in energy and vivaciousness, but as in a few seconds would become clear, not in skill and strength. The slightly taller of one of the makeshift teams managed to punch his opponent to the ground, who was stunned but not unconscious. He made an effort to get up. As he managed to rise to his hands and feet, the inflictor of his original tumble swiftly struck him with the top of his foot squarely in the face. This proved to be a natural break in the action. Someone had been injured beyond immediate revival. At this point, all three of us were in a sort of shock. We had been watching with a mix of excitement and worry, but now concern took us over. The same change of mind seemed to be reflected by the three left standing. The remaining combatants dispersed, and just one man was left, laying on the cold concrete, motionless. With the arrival of an ambulance, we assumed all would be well and attempted to get some rest during the night, of which there was not much left. Eventually retiring from the bench and wandering through the cold streets for a bit, we walked into a classic French boulangerie. Golden light hit my face as I stepped into the warm little shop. The women behind the counter were just opening up, but provided us with a coffee here and a croissant there. It was rather extraordinary how the seemingly unknown amount of comfort managed to erase what had happened during the night from our memories. And in all honesty, I have not thought about that night again until choosing to write this account of it. Now all that is left from that night is a hope that that young man didn't die. There we go.
Wow.
That was a short story.
That was quite a ride.
Yeah?
A great story, I think.
That's very sweet of you.
I was really drawn in, first of all, I'd like to say. The storytelling as well, I think, contributed to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a very unique style. It reminded me kind of like a diary entry or something like that. So very interesting perspective.
Yeah.
And of course, maybe we need to mention to the viewers that this is kind of a story that happened to us. It's it's based on real life.
I replaced the character names because, I wanted to.
Adam isn't a very French name. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, you did say that to me.
But yeah, I really recall the moment
mm-hmm.
through this story, which I hadn't really thought of. You're right. I really didn't dwell on that moment that much, but
exactly.
It was quite intense.
I certainly did, and the kind of the thing that I really tried to focus on most was trying to build some suspense, trying to build up to that moment.
Yeah, I guess the suspense. I don't want to talk about my story right now,
mm-hmm.
but I would say that during my story, I also tried to build up to that point.
And it's difficult, right?
And it's quite hard,
because,
you know, you have to use the right length of sentences
exactly,
as well.
And it's all about timing.
It's
and
all about, which punctuation, which words you
mm-hmm,
use.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
I will say...
I think, like, you balanced it very well.
Yeah, I was reading it back now, and I was kind of impressed with...
Yeah, it's very... It's clean, you know? It's
mm-hmm.
just... I didn't see. There was one word, compatriots. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that means just people who live in the same country. I'm pretty sure. Just like co.
Really, but aren't you in this situation, my compatriot?
But I think no. If I was Dutch, I think so. But compatriot.
Really, that's a
I think
nationality
patriot,
specific
you know,
thing.
When you're patriot.
Compatriot. We have a dictionary at hand.
Oh, okay.
A fellow citizen or national of a country.
So maybe like companion would be a better word in
yeah.
that case. But yeah. Other than that, I didn't notice any grammatical errors, so
no.
that was great too.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the when we we tried to sleep on the beach and stuff.
Yeah.
It's good to have not just had the action, but also
exactly.
included the
I was
little details.
To, what you were talking about too, that you kind of set up this setting first and go from there.
Yeah,
and I really tried to.
Yeah, I liked starting off that way. And then
yeah.
you have a lot of possibilities.
But now I wish I'd just written it longer.
Yeah, well, that's what I did. I think I wrote it a little longer, but
mm-hmm.
then. But my story is totally different in the way that it's not based at all in real life.
Yeah.
My story is just a random.
Which I think is a whole lot more difficult to do.
Yeah, I think so too. Because you really communicated the emotions.
Exactly. That's what I said that in that last podcast too. Where I was just, because this is something I've experienced and I remember it quite well.
It's easier to tell.
I really tried to focus on the writing a lot.
But yeah, but I saw also my perspective in the way that you were like, oh, I think it was Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, Adam stood up. And I was like, yeah, because that night I was fucking, I was standing up the whole time. I was stressing
out. But you were also, as I recall and as I tried to put into the story, you were a lot more kind of calm and relaxed about what was going on.
Yeah,
and
I was
very, very stressed about
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't really tell, but
I guess
you were.
Very scared, yeah.
Because I thought it was quite far away from us, and it was...
It was, but in those situations,
and I was
always like...
wide awake as well. I was completely, like, the whole night.
I really did, like, there's... I tried to stay as true to as how I remember it,
at
least.
That's great.
Because I was sleeping at the
but
time.
But I do remember the scene vividly in my mind.
Yeah.
Like, the kick, especially. I remember how it was,
that
like...
That kick, yeah.
It was
that
a crazy
really changed
kick.
A whole lot.
It was like... And you really... I thought you portrayed that very well.
Mm-hmm.
That was very good.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate all
and,
that.
And, you know, what a good moment. It's such a good story as well to have.
It is
know?
A great
it's
story.
A good anecdote.
For sure.
And
also the whole with us being in Nice and... and yeah. kind of I'm able to like grab these little snippets
yeah,
of like
sure. the oh, boulangerie. And like, this is why we were sleeping outside. You're like yeah. my nature or something. Like, you're yeah, like my personality. Yeah, yeah. I thought yeah. that was a very good. A good yeah, little extract.
That's something that, well, I kind of like that I'm that way. What was it?
It was in the beginning, you said something
yeah,
like...
Yeah, it was by no means an inviting place to sleep for the night, but we made do. I remember feeling an air of excitement, as I often do in situations which will eventually provide a harrowing tale. This attitude of mine contributed also to our initial choice not to get a place to stay for the night.
Yeah, I do remember when we were back home, you yeah. were saying, let's sleep one night
yeah,
outside,
exactly.
and I thought that was a great
because
idea.
Because I kind of... Well, I like trying to create these circumstances in which things are very extreme, you know. And
it was quite extreme.
And it provides a story like this.
Well, I'm glad. I personally did it because I was like sleeping outside one night in your life. You have to do it,
exactly.
you know, in the city, see what it's
exactly,
like.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it was definitely worth it, even though I didn't sleep that much.
And it didn't feel worth it then.
But now that you have the
yeah.
story, maybe it does.
But that was with that whole trip. Like now, I'm able to pick out all of these
really?
Great moments from it, but they're. You know, there's
I guess
also,
so.
Because the moment there was a lot of
bad,
we're
so
bad
tired.
Feelings. Yeah.
The tiredness really, really.
It got to it
blocked.
Got to us, and you
yeah.
you guys really, you slept that.
Yeah,
that
the whole day,
the day
I slept
yeah.
in a park, but also the boulangerie at the end, the salvation.
Yeah, right, and the golden light hitting my face. I thought
that
it was nice
good,
to kind of bring it back up.
Yeah, it's this happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
And so you chose not to leave the story open, like a lot of short stories do.
Did you do that?
I did, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
But it's good. It's like a... I wouldn't have liked it if it had been left
yeah,
open.
Yeah, I could have...
For this story.
I could have gone, the remaining combatants dispersed, and just one man was left laying on the cold concrete, motionless. I could have ended it there.
Yeah, but that would have been kind of rough.
Yeah. And the whole experience of going to that bakery afterwards
that
is
bakery
so part
really
of that
it.
Whole night.
Yeah. It was so warm in there.
Yeah, it was so warm, and we did get a coffee and a croissant. You
it was
know?
Nice.
We got
yeah.
a chocolatine too.
So, yeah, I'm really impressed with the story. Very
Thank
good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, definitely. You should definitely keep writing. Maybe, I really like it. Maybe the style suits you, the little short stories
mm-hmm.
about something that happened.
Yeah.
Because the diary style is very adapted to this. I really like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very. I do certainly recognize very much my own style and like word choice and
yeah,
structure is very
quite
much
nice.
In there.
Yeah,
I'm sure that'll be evident in yours as well.
I hope so.
You
know, it's hard to find your own kind of way of writing things.
But
know?
I don't know if there's really a choice there. I think.
You think you just naturally write that way?
Well, I certainly not. I wasn't thinking about.
Yeah, but sometimes I think of like, what word could I use here to make it?
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Interesting.
Of course.
Is that my style, or maybe I took it? You know, I don't know. You never.
I think that's your style at the end of the day because
maybe,
you're still
yeah,
making that
you're,
choice.
You're putting it down in words yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll see with my short story how it goes.
Yeah.
But this is a really. We should.
Yeah.
Like this definitely makes me want to keep listening to more stories.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even about the same trip. You know.
Yeah, I also think it's. Because if we do a short story that's this short, or you write one ourselves again, I think reading it out on the podcast, because for the listeners, they haven't heard the
for
story
sure.
before.
Yeah.
That might be a nice thing
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, and we can make it even longer.
Mm-hmm.
I think if one thing would be to lack from this, it would be a more like a setting description, I guess, of the surroundings. Like, how
yeah.
was Nice?
Because
I'm picturing it very well in my mind, but
yeah.
maybe it's because I was there, and so I know exactly
and
what it looked
I mean,
like.
We're filling in a lot of details here.
Exactly.
Because
so maybe like the viewer is not really sure what it looked like.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the difference between a short story and an actual story.
Yeah.
Well.
But where does that boundary lie between short story
that's
and
the question.
A novel? And is
then,
there such a thing as
at what point
do
you reach 25 pages of just the writing something?
Yeah. Yeah, I. But
we just have to experiment more, is what I think, and just discover
this
more about ourselves.
I'm thinking about it now. This is so much fun to do.
Yeah,
just
this
write
great.
My own story.
And it really didn't take that long as well.
No.
For me, at least. I
probably put like 3 hours in.
Yeah, the key
this,
is just finding what you want to write.
Yeah.
Once you know what you want to write, it's just a question of like how committed are you.
Mm-hmm. But I did certainly get stuck here and there.
Yeah,
and
me too.
Leave it
for
a few days.
You leave it behind and then personally, I had it in my mind a lot. So like, I'd be doing something random and I'm like, oh, this could be interesting in my story.
Mm-hmm. I think things like that will come into play a lot more when you start writing longer things.
For
and
sure.
And then you start maybe carrying a
maybe.
Notebook with you and you write
oh,
down
yeah.
the ideas, things like that.
Well, I often think that that I should carry like a little notebook
of course,
to write ideas
yeah.
down. Because often you have a random idea, you're like, I'm going to forget this for
mm-hmm.
sure. But it's always good to have it there.
Before we move on to your story, can you maybe tell us a little bit about your recent artistic ventures?
Oh, the little book.
Yeah.
Well, it all started at Christmas. I got a little bit of money from the grandparents,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't really need anything. I'd gotten everything for Christmas, so I kept the money for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized when I went to the comic book festival with my dad in France, I realized that they all draw all the authors when they're not doing like they're not signing something or drawing something for a person. They're drawing on their own little piece of paper or something, and it looks great.
Even when they.
Yeah,
like just to pass the time.
Yeah, just to pass the time. They're like drawing something, and then like it's
so cool,
and it's great. And
yeah.
I was like, wow, this is great. And so I told my dad, I was like, I want to buy a little, a small notebook
mm-hmm.
of good paper to draw things myself because
yeah.
it seems not that hard and it seems very enjoyable.
How'd your father respond to that?
He was like, "That's a great idea."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
And I think he even gave me a little bit of money.
Oh really?
When we separated,
mm.
when I was coming back here to buy a little book. So thanks, Dad. I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been drawing. Almost every day. I kind of stopped because I was sick, but now
mm-hmm.
I've started again. And
yeah,
I drew a little. What did I draw? A little birdhouse.
Mm,
and
cool.
My drawings are, of course, not very nice. But
I've seen some of the drawings, and he's got this very own style. It's really
it's a little
nice.
Weird style.
I
maybe
like
we'll
it.
Do a podcast about that someday.
Yeah, but I was thinking that too,
but
it's problematic.
Pictures
yeah,
very
it's
hard. Yeah, but yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot. I would definitely recommend you guys do that. You know, just
mm-hmm.
pick up a piece of paper and draw something funny.
Yeah.
Don't try to make it good, you know,
no.
that's I'm just drawing for myself.
Also, yeah, exactly. Realize that you're not doing it for anyone else.
Yeah, you're just, you know, nobody cares.
But then again, like, having the thought now of that we're going to do a podcast about this writing and that you're going to read it, that
yeah.
did motivate me to put in
make
more
it even better, yeah,
and
for
finish
sure.
it even.
This podcast,
yeah,
yeah, finish it. So, yeah, because I was halfway through and I was like, you know, why am I doing this? And
mm-hmm.
then, you know, after a couple of days, I was like, I need to finish this for the
exactly.
podcast. You know, it has to be good.
We're about to go into a little break, but I think first we should talk about Pride and Prejudice for just a second.
Oh, maybe.
Because
the elephant in the room.
Yeah, neither of us have been able to finish it.
Yeah, I'm the first who confronted reality
yeah.
and admitted that I wouldn't finish it.
Yeah.
Max took a longer time, but it's just a very hard book, I'd
yeah,
say.
I was
definitely
really
not
enjoying
a,
it.
It's not enjoyable. Well, I'd enjoy it, personally. I don't think it's a style for me.
I understand, yeah.
We
yeah.
might get a more in-depth review later about
yeah.
what we thought about it. But for now, it's on hold.
Yeah, it's on hold indeed.
We're sorry if you really wanted to see it
mm-hmm.
or hear it.
It will probably at some point do it.
Yeah, probably.
Because we've both read like
more than
half.
Half
of it,
yeah.
if not more, yeah.
And
I think the next one will probably be short story.
And we'll see after.
But we're going to work on a novel. We're
yeah,
going to do
sure.
another novel soon enough.
For sure. Cause we really enjoyed novels.
Maybe
well.
Something Paul Auster-y, because we haven't
yeah.
done that in a long time.
We haven't done that in a while, yeah. And Paul Auster is always an enjoyable read.
It sure is.
We did go on a little walk to a couple of bookstores, which
mm-hmm.
was very enjoyable.
Yeah, and we found some nice books.
So we'll definitely do more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought a book for 50 cents, which was a great deal.
Pretty sweet.
Great price.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll definitely come back with new stories to
indeed.
Analyze.
For now, just a little break, you know, catch your breath, and we'll be right back with the second short story.
Oh, yes, yes. So the title of my short story is The Man of the Wild. His eyes opened in the dim light of the cabin. The thin sliver of light that slid through a crack in between the thick curtains told him that the sun had risen. He rose to a sitting position and looked around the room that made up his entire living space. The large sheepskin cover that had kept him warm through the night slipped off his shoulders and made a slight noise. Immediately, a brown-shaped shadow leapt from the closeness of the chimney and bounded towards him. He held his dog's head close to his face as he teased him. "Who's my boy? Who's my good boy?" Buck jumped off the side of the bed and waited patiently for his master to rise from the warmth of his bed. Once he had gotten up, he put on his leather clothing, durable enough for his forest lifestyle. After grabbing a bowl of oats and giving Buck his share, he cracked open the large wooden door to the outside. He had slept well through the large snowstorm that had happened in the mountainous pine tree forest that he resided in. Taking out his knife, he cut another chip into the log onto the side of his cabin, checking another day into his calendar. He paused, realizing that he had stayed there for 7 months now. The shadow of sadness filled his eyes, and then disappeared in an instant as he started tying his wooden snowshoes, which would prevent him from sinking into deep, soft snow. He had been trudging through the forest for at least 3 hours, without seeing so much as a feather in the wind. The branches of the pines were bent with the weight of the fresh snow, and the ghostly figures of trees created an eerie rumor through the forest. The silence was almost unnerving, as the crunching snow and his beating heart were the only sounds he could hear. This caused for the howl to rip through the forest with an extreme clarity. He immediately recognized Buck's cries and rushed through the snow, slipping and hitting low branches as he went. He burst through a bush and emerged in an opening in the trees. The deep scarlet-colored snow immediately caught his eye as he rushed to his dog's side. After holding Buck's head up, he started methodically checking the injuries. That's when he noticed the large paw tracks leading back into the forest. A bear. They would have to move as quickly as possible. Wrapping Buck's wounds tightly, and then using some spare cloth to attach him to his chest, he started walking at a quick pace. Some deep growling could now be heard in the undergrowth. After walking at a rapid pace for an hour, he finally reached the familiar area of his cabin. Bursting through the door to his cabin, the familiar warmth made his face tingle, and he placed Buck onto the skins by the fireplace. Removing gently the cloth that had protected his dog, he started cleaning the claw wound on the side. At this point, Buck was whimpering gently and licking his darkened fur. Feeling the depth of a cut, the man realized that his medicinal ability would be insufficient to save his faithful dog. He would need more clean bandages and some healing lotion, and he needed it urgently. He made his decision before dinner. He would have to return to the town to save Buck. This would have to be a night trip, however. And as he finished his dinner, he checked to see if the moon was bright enough for a long trek through the forest. Luckily, the moon shone with her white brightness and was reflected on the snow, enough for an experienced forest walker to find his way. Leaving Buck by the fire, he shut the door and began his long walk down the mountain. He got used to getting his feet caught in roots and bushes, but the tiredness started pressing down on his legs after 2 hours regardless. After 3 hours, the tree density started decreasing, and an old familiar feeling of uneasiness filled him. The town lights finally came into view, and he continued this section of the trip while holding his head down and lessening the impact of his shoes on the harder ground. He immediately recognized the streets on which he had grown up, and tried to remember the apothecary shop's location. Using the back streets and remaining in the shadows, he finally reached the small, rustic shop. He entered the back door by forcing the latch and immediately started rummaging through the clearly labeled and organized vials. After slipping the bottles he needed into his leather bag, he grabbed a few rolls of bandages and crept out of the store. Releasing the breath that he had been holding in for so long, he let the freezing air fill his lungs. The hardest had been done. He was creeping past the corner of the main road when he suddenly heard it. The piano piece that he hadn't heard in so long. 7 months, in fact. He raised his eyes to the wooden building ahead of him and leant against the cold wall behind him. He started feeling cold on his cheeks and ran his hands across them. The tears had begun flowing uncontrollably, filling his beard and blurring his vision. Almost as brusquely as it had come, the piano melody stopped, leaving the street colder than it had ever been. Then, onto the balcony, emerged the outline of a woman. He knew, he had known from the moment he had left. She turned to peer over the side of the balcony, and her protruding abdomen came into the light. Her pregnancy was well underway. So well underway, in fact, that he could tell through the tears and the dimly lit street. Just like Buck, she broke the silence and called his name, gently at first, then louder. This brought him back to his senses as he walked briskly backwards. He couldn't be here, not again. He kept walking at a fast pace till the end of the road and then started sprinting as fast as his legs could carry him back to the forest, her calls still ringing in his ears. Fresh tears started running down his face again as a fresh fall of snow began.
Wow.
That was my story.
Wow, dude.
Really?
So
what's,
good.
What's the general view?
That was amazing. I really liked it. That was so good, dude.
It was totally random.
Oh my god.
I thought it was a crazy idea.
You really took me on a journey there.
Yeah?
Yeah. I, okay. I, I took some notes because I knew that his was slightly longer than mine. So I'll just go through them. The establishment of setting.
Yeah, that was really what I based my story around. Fantastic. I kind of wrote the cabin thing.
I was in that log cabin.
Yeah, I really pictured it in my mind. And then I was like, now what happens to this guy? You know, he's in this cabin. Also,
great move not giving him a name.
I really, because at some point it's hard. It's like the man, you're like, are people going to connect to him? But then it's like just Buck, you know, Buck is the main character.
I also, there was the line Brown Shadow. And I was like, huh? How is that possible? And I was like, oh, it's the dog.
It's Buck the Brown Shadow. Creeping out of darkness.
That was great. The cutting, the carving the side of the cabin to show 7 months.
7 months because she's pregnant as well.
Yeah, I love it. That's why he left.
Yeah, fantastic. 7 months ago, and that's why she's so pregnant.
Oh, also, the time jump from him leaving the cabin to 3 hours later.
I wasn't sure if that was going to be...
That's fantastic. Because you've given a setting, and then to not go on with plot from then...
It was refreshing.
Yeah, it was great. There one word mistake I also noted. You said there was a rumor coming through the...
Yeah, I wasn't sure that was allowed to say that.
Murmur is the right word.
You think murmur? Okay.
Yeah, well, rumor is like, you know, it's a rumor.
Yeah, but I thought maybe the trees, you know, rumor in between each other. I wasn't sure. I think it's in French you can say that. Maybe not in English.
Perhaps.
Okay, so I'll change to murmur.
I got legitimate goosebumps when Buck got hurt.
Yeah, I was like...
Even over this very short span of story, I get so attached to that animal.
I really tried, because the dog is so easily to get attached to. Mm-hmm. It's like licking his face.
But you've got to make him lifelike.
Exactly.
And
it's like, who's a good boy? You know, that makes it's kind of a bit of humor. And also, I just wanted to mention that the first injury that he was supposed to get was like the dog got into a trap or something.
Mm.
But I thought that was weird because
then you have to then you have to explain the trap.
Yeah, and he was living alone, and so I was like, a bear would be crazy. And also, another idea that I had was that the bear would actually attack the guy, and that the dog would defend him.
But then
I thought that was kind of too over the top. So I was like, this is too much.
And you said when they got back to the cabin, you said darkened fur.
Oh yeah,
because of the blood. Also great. I wrote down, there was a fantastic use of adverbs and adjectives, just adding little meaning here and there, and like the way he crept into the shop and the door cracked open, and also his leather clothes and the leather bag. Like, I love that whole world. It's so good.
Thanks.
And also that line, the hardest had been done after he'd gone.
Oh, yeah, I really, it's good, like a good, because it was intense.
Yeah, I wrote down pacing. Like, the pacing is great.
The pacing is really what I focused on.
Yeah.
Basically, it's quite easy. You just, when you want it to be more intense, you use shorter words and shorter sentences, and you start reading quicker, of course.
Yeah.
And then I like, because it's like little bumps on the story, and at the end you can add a little sentence that, like the hardest had been done.
Yeah.
And it really, like, it
brings
hits.
It home. Yeah. Yeah. It's, that was really great. I will say it's, and what I realized now when I read mine, like, you know, this can easily be a 5,000 word story.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I could write it so much.
Because there's kind of, it's all beginnings, you know.
Yeah.
Like, is he able to save the dog? What happens with the woman eventually?
Exactly.
You know?
But also, I like the fact that I don't have to think about that.
Yeah.
I can write a crazy situation and then not have to worry about the consequences.
And it's funny that you said in that word, because my mom studied something called scenario schrijven, which is coming up with and writing scenarios.
That's great.
Know? And obviously, then you also go further and like write screenplays and things like that. But I think what we've both done is kind of given a bare outline, really.
Yeah, and I mean, I learned a lot. I'm really glad we did this.
Yeah, me too.
I learned a lot from story writing.
Yeah, and you were so nervous leading, or not so nervous, but
I was quite nervous. Yeah.
But no need. Like, this is so good.
Well, I'm glad. Really, I'm glad you enjoyed it. This makes me want to write more.
Yeah. This it also makes me want to write more.
And
exciting.
Yeah. Well, this was just positive. This is great. I like how we both loved each other.
I hope it doesn't sound like
we sound like we're just
sucking each other's dicks too much, you know.
But
for lack of better words, but.
But, you know, we really enjoy each other's stories. Mm-hmm. We really told each other, to be honest, before this podcast. Yeah. We were like, if you don't like it, tell me.
And I would have definitely...
I would have done the same.
If there were things I didn't like, I would have.
There were some,
like the murmur, you know.
And with the compatriot, of course. You know. But I think that's just technical errors. And overall, as long as we like each other's general style, then I think that's great. Because we can just keep going.
Yeah, this is certainly a lot of fun, and it makes me want to write something a lot longer. Really.
Yeah, me too. We could maybe try that.
Mm-hmm.
Or write the same. Well, I mean, we don't even have to put lengths. We can just say we'll write something and then...
But as you know, we can't have you write a 20,000 word story
of course.
And me of 2,000
words. Within the time limit as well. But, and also the fact that we wrote totally different stories really adds to it, I think.
I honestly wouldn't be opposed to having the next podcast do the same thing.
Me neither. I think maybe not this week, because I'd like to have at least a 1 week break,
okay.
One podcast break.
Sure.
Because otherwise it might get too repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
And also I want... I think it's nice if we pace ourselves for the long run. I don't want to get bored of writing like this.
And at the end of the day, this is only the 19th episode.
Exactly, so
that's
we have
nothing,
a lot of time. I think next episode we'll do a short story, and then the episode after that we can do a...
Or next episode we might do some poetry.
Oh, that could be fun as well.
I'd enjoy
some poetry.
Because the podcast number 17, The Devil Was Hot by Charles Bukowski, I've recently acquired a book full of his poetry.
Well, my parents liked Charles Bukowski a lot.
Exactly.
They didn't know about him, and they learned... And they enjoyed it quite
nice.
A bit.
And I think if we just take like two or three epic poems or something like that
and
kind
analyze
of try
them.
And that, but that will take a lot of preparation.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe
because
another short story by Charles Bukowski as well.
Could also
I
be
really
fun,
liked them.
For sure. And the Devil Was Hot is from this whole bundle of short stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So maybe we can choose another short
story. For sure.
Or a couple of short stories even.
Like we did with Guy de Maupassant.
Guy de Maupassant.
Guy de Maupassant.
Very good. Yeah, those were great stories.
Yeah, and we did two of those, and that was nice.
That was nice. Maybe the common theme as well.
Exactly, identifying
right.
parallels within a bundle is a lot of fun.
But yeah, maybe you guys can try to find parallels in between our short stories.
Indeed.
A little homework for you guys for next episode, you know? Give us a little comment, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think that's about it.
Yeah.
For this week.
We hope you enjoyed.
We certainly did.
It's quite
a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's quite a different style this week, but... hopefully a good one, and you know, we hope you enjoyed as much as we did, especially writing these, to be honest.
Yeah.
Anything else to add? Oh, the recommendation
of
the week.
Oh, yes, of course, the Book Boys tip of the week.
Book Boys, well, we've had the tip of the week for a little drawing, so I definitely recommend one of you to, not one of you, all of you, to take a little pen out and draw a little, make a little doodle, you know, who cares? A little comic, a little fun story. But in terms of actual... references, I think I'm going to go with a recommendation that Max gave me, actually, and that I'm going to give you guys. It's a movie called Uncut Gems, which I watched last night.
I'm sure a lot of you have heard of it.
A lot of you have heard of it, but I know my parents will not have.
I think all we have to say is it's a different Adam Sandler, and you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, it's Adam Sandler, but it's great.
Yeah.
I would like to add that it's quite an intense movie, so be prepared for that.
Yeah.
But beautiful cinematography,
for sure.
Great storyline, great characters. So
I agree.
You know, what else do you want?
What else do you
in
want?
In a movie. Well, that's it for the week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you probably next week.
We will definitely see you next week.
We'll be more consistent.
We
unfortunate.
Always say that, but
yeah, but I was unfortunately a little sick.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So I was unable to do the podcast, but next week we should be...
back on track.
Exactly. For episode 20... of the Book Boys podcast.
A
That's
big
a
one.
Big step.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Au revoir.